The Wire was originally penned by the classic 17th century playwright Pierre Corneille in 1664. The play has all of the ingredients of a perfect French farce, a tangled web of lies, misdirected advances, and the unmistakable confusion of love. Shakespeare and Company is producing a translation by award-winning American playwright David Ives, which merges the humor of classic verse with contemporary twist. Here to tell us more are the director, Kevin Coleman, and actors David Joseph and Alexandra Lincoln. I thank you all for being here. What a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Thank you.
Well, let us begin with you, Kevin, as far as bringing this whole thing together and making it work. What are the challenges in doing this type of production?
With doing a French farce, what are the challenges?
And we have 14 minutes to go.
It's really fun. David Ives has taken this. I haven't read the original one, but I've read a bazillion French farces. And David Ives has really done wonderful work on this. But it's not just a strict translation. He took it and he translated it into verse for the Shakespeare Theater in Washington with Michael Kahn down there. But he's also, he's adapted it. So he's changed some of the story because the story didn't work very well in places. And French farces are notorious for having really weak endings.
Yeah.
All of them. The ending, you're going along
sort of
and suddenly...
End, right?
Yeah, they sort of end. It's like, what? Did that...
All of a sudden there's nobody on stage.
More resolution?
Realize they're done.
And so he fixed a lot of it. And he spent 2 days in rehearsal with us. So it was great to have him. We could ask him any questions. That was it.
What kind of questions did he ask?
What the hell does this mean, David?
Yeah. And for you, for the two of you as actors, and we'll begin with you, Alexandra, of what that is like, of having that opportunity to ask these questions.
It was a gift. It was an absolute gift to have him there. To be able to, as Kevin was saying, ask the director, why is my character saying this? Or, what does this mean? What does this sentence mean? It's not clear. We work at a Shakespeare and Company, theater company, so obviously we never have the opportunity to ask Shakespeare these questions. So to have the playwright adapter there was a gift, and he was so generous and lovely. So we were very thankful to have him there.
And David?
Yeah, it was wonderful. And also, I found what was so interesting is that because it's all rhyming couplets, there were certain words that were chosen. And I remember asking him, you chose that just for the rhyme. And he's like, no, actually, if you look deeper into the meaning, he really found, two or three layers of meaning for every word. So what a gift for an actor to be able to speak a play that has such language, much like Shakespeare, but to have this kind of language and then have the playwright there to explain why he chose these words in these particular details in the story really was an amazing experience.
Knowing that there is more meaning there, does that change a performance?
Absolutely. I mean, it gives you a certain depth for the character, and who knows exactly what each audience member gets, but at any given moment when you say a line and you feel a certain way, one particular person might be feeling it one way and the other another way and getting a different story from it, but the deeper you can get into the character and the deeper you get into each line makes a tremendous difference in storytelling, I find.
Mm-hmm. And I started off asking Kevin this question, but doing that farce and that type of energy and the rapidity of it, what is that, I would assume it's fun, but obviously it's a lot more work going in, isn't it?
It really is. It's a ton of work going in. But again, it's a gift. I mean, to be able to be an actor and be able to do these kinds of scenes with that kind of energy and that amount of diversity is a gift. But it really does take a tremendous amount of energy for everyone, including the director, including the writer, including every actor, because it takes that village to pull this off. So it really takes energy from the costumer to the designers to be able to put up with that kind of energy at any given moment on stage. It's great.
Because when I look at Kevin right now, I see energy.
The picture of energy. Stop doing those jumping jacks, Kevin.
Laying back in the corner.
Not the push-ups again.
When these two were saying...
78, 79.
David told a story. It was just an offhand comment when we were sitting around the table reading through the play. And and he said, I think when he was 7 years old, he was given a gift of a thesaurus. And I thought, what seven-year-old kid wants a thesaurus? And that's really David. I mean, he is so in love with language and has been all his life. So his translation and his selection of words, when David said, did you just pick that word for the rhyme? And he said, well, actually, no. You'd have to believe David, having had a thesaurus in his hand since he was seven. He really has an ear for language. He really has an appreciation of language. And sometimes we don't see it until we're, you know, 2 weeks into rehearsal. And then it's this eureka moment of, oh, I get what he's doing. And that refers back to, and then that foreshadows this and all of that. And so rehearsals can be very exciting.
The Lyre by David Ives is up and running February 1st through the 24th of March at Shakespeare and Company. And Kevin, give us a sense of how this type of show fits into the overall mission of Shakespeare and Company. And I ask you this since you've been there since the beginning.
I've been there for a long time. Well, besides Shakespeare, we're really interested in plays about language, and we're really interested in plays that have that really examine the human condition on a deep level. This is not one of them. This is a play. This is a play about language, and but it's what's so wonderful about it is because it's a French farce. You expect, all right, we're swimming in shallow water.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of door slamming. The endings always fall apart. You know, the absolutely the wrong person that you want comes walking on stage next. It's that kind of high stakes tension. In farces, you're not just hungry, you're starving. So it's that kind of energy. But the delight of David's script is that the language is really surprisingly wonderful, which is something that Corneille didn't provide.
Yeah.
And David is really, I mean, he has such respect and such appreciation of this playwright, and he's really done really wonderful service for it. I've read, you know, lots and lots of farces, and this is at the top.
What I find interesting is you have a company and you're doing this show in the dead of winter. And you say, okay, we're doing a 17th century French farce, and that I would assume a majority of people are not familiar with, and but it doesn't matter because they trust you, right? They trust the company, they trust what you have chosen, and there is that brand of Shakespeare and Company that will bring people in because they trust what type of work you do.
Oh, Joe, that's great to hear. Thank you. Thank you.
Do you think that's true?
I would like to think that's true. I hope that that's
because
true.
Because what I mean, really, I would think you would have to have a little faith in programming something like that, that people are going to come through the door because they assume that you're going to do something good.
Yes, yes. We had an open rehearsal the other day for, who was there? It was all
donors.
And the rehearsal room was packed. So we looked at two scenes. We looked at a scene that wasn't working very well. And then we looked at a scene that we thought, this is so far over the top, David Ives will deny any knowledge of us. We had taken it so far over the top. And what they said similar things. They said, you know, when we come here, we really expect to see really high quality work on stage and really well crafted, and the actors are doing it. It's very entertaining. They're doing it effortlessly. And I thought that was really wonderful to hear. I was really happy about that. But you asked me the question of why are you doing this play? Well, because it's February and March.
Right.
And what you want is you want something that, you know, gets you out of cabin fever, gets you just
takes
really
you
brightens.
Aware from here and brings you to a new place.
Yes, yes. Great way to say it.
David and Alexandra, I mean, you both been with the company 5 and 7 years. And, mm-hmm. and so that's a long time. And so I assume that it is a home for you as well, in a manner of speaking.
Absolutely. I I came to Shakespeare and Company after living in New York City for a number of years, doing studying in a conservatory in the city and doing the waiting of tables and catering and all of that. And I came up to do a workshop at Shakespeare and Company and drank the Kool-Aid, as they say, and tried to get out of the city as fast as possible to move up here. It absolutely is a home to me and an artistic, creative nest, and I really enjoy it.
David, you've been around for 7 years.
Yes.
So yeah. It's something that you enjoy.
Absolutely. It's a very specific aesthetic there, and it's very much a collaborative nature when we do shows. And you don't always get that. I was a professional actor in New York City for 7 years, and there was a lot of, the director says, oh, so the reason why your character is doing this is because of this. And when you go to do the blocking that I told you, it's this. Whereas Shakespeare and Company is not like that at all. It is very much a collaborative experience where at every break we say, well, what do you think about that? Well, what do you think about that? So it's a gift, again, for an actor to not get told what to do, but to ask how they feel about it. And then the consummate feeling of playing that happens at any given day in rehearsal and even in shows. It's sort of common that while you're on stage, you can still explore while the show goes on. You know, we have long runs. This is like a 2-month run.
Yeah.
And to be doing the science of hitting this mark and doing it like this is just not the case. This show, if you see it this Friday at our preview, will be an entirely different show in about a month from now because we'll have grown and the director will still come in and watch it and give us some thoughts and it will continue to grow and blossom, which is just a gift for an actor to be able to feel like you can continue to create on stage.
So what you're saying, if I have this right, is buy tickets for the early and the late.
Exactly.
At least twice
because you'll feel totally different.
Before and after, take notes and then...
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I think you have to come. I think beginning, middle, and end.
Three times. Really, the full arc of it.
But yeah. Certainly you'll have to come twice because there is so much going on stage. It's like a two-ring circus.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to miss what's going on over in the corner over there unless you come and see it twice.
And to give you another soundbite about what happened when we had David Ives here,
yeah,
we actually ran into Tina, who is our founding artistic director.
Tina Packer,
exactly. And we had just said, oh, my God, David Ives was with us for 2 days. And she said, well, you told him that this is what we do, right? To not worry because this is what we do. It was just amazing speaking about the aesthetic and about, you know, these kinds of shows and the brand that is Shakespeare and Company. It was so funny that she was just tell him that this is what we're doing to leave. We got this.
She's got that one down.
Yeah.
The Liar, translated by David Ives, begins previews in the Elaine Bernstein Theater at Shakespeare and Company Friday, February 1st at 7 o'clock. It runs weekends through March 24th. For ticket and showtime information, visit shakespeare.org, shakespeare.org. Kevin Coleman, David Joseph, and Alexandra Lincoln, I want to thank you very much for being here. Have a wonderful run, and thank you so much for being with us and making the trek over today. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Thank
Jeff.
You for having us.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Have a wonderful time. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.